Our reading this morning comes from John 9, commencing at verse 13 through to the end of the chapter. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud that opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But now he can see. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Congregation, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mike, and good morning, everyone. Excuse me. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first part of this chapter of John chapter 9. And in those first verses, we saw Jesus amazingly heal a man born blind. You might remember how this man was in such a terrible state, but Jesus gave him a mask of mud. He sent him off to wash, and for the very first time, that man could see. But you may also remember how this pointed us to something much deeper, to the spiritual cleansing and healing that only Jesus can provide. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. However, this week, the story continues as we see the fallout from this astonishing event. Because we're told in verse 13, right at the beginning, that they brought to the Pharisees the man who'd been blind. So who's they? Who's bringing him? Well, it's his neighbours. It's those who saw him every day and who knew him best and who were certain that a life-changing miracle had taken place. And why did they bring him? Well, we don't really know. Perhaps they were so excited about what had happened that they wanted their leaders, the Pharisees, to share in their joy. Perhaps they wanted those leaders to help them to understand this incredible event. Perhaps they thought that they would want to honour this man and to honour the one who had healed him. We're not really sure. But what we do know is that when people saw the reality of what Jesus had done, it evoked some very contrasting responses. And in our passage today, we are going to see three of those. And in many ways, those three responses reflect how people continue to react to Jesus even today. And so we're going to consider each of those this morning. Now, the first response that we see here in our passage is that of the Pharisees, or I should actually say the majority of the Pharisees, because they weren't all of the same mind. And their response begins with an investigation. They wanted to find out what had really happened. We must understand, however, that their investigation was motivated by what John mentions already in verse 14. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Now that may sound harmless, but if you know anything about these men, then you'll know that that's not harmless at all. You'll know that these words are in fact legalistic dynamite. For the Pharisees had devised a whole bunch of rules and regulations around what they thought constituted work. Around what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And they imposed their rules on all of the people with vigilance and with severity. And as a result, in their eyes, Jesus had actually done something terrible. First of all, kneading, it was forbidden. And that's what Jesus had done in mixing together the saliva and the dirt. And secondly, treating illness was forbidden. It may sound petty to us, but to them, Jesus had committed the most serious crime. And so they investigated. Verse 15, therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Were these leaders astonished? Were they excited? Were they rejoicing? Well, listen to verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Unbelievable, isn't it? Faced with the facts, these men weren't amazed, but they were critical. They were so small-minded that they could not even see that the miracle that was before them. All that they could see was a breach of their own little rules and a threat to their own little kingdom. You know, I even wonder if Jesus intentionally healed on the Sabbath just to reveal their strange and childish attitude. And so they continued investigating, seemingly to try to get the answers that they were really looking for. Verse 17, then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And then we're told they still didn't believe that he'd been blind and that he had received his sight. And so then next they sent for his parents. Verse 19, is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it then that he can now see? But they still didn't get the desired result. And so they went back to the man himself. Verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who'd been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. And verse 26, then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? But in reply, the man highlighted their ignorance. He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? These Pharisees conducted an investigation. But they didn't really want the truth, did they? They only wanted evidence against Jesus. And so their response turned to condemnation. They'd already concluded that despite his exhibition of divine power, that Jesus could not be from God. How could he be from God when he breaks our little rules? Verse 24, they say, we know this man is a sinner. And verse 27, we know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Are they just saying here that Jesus is a nobody? Or are they again casting aspersions on his heritage, conceived illegitimately by an unmarried mother? These Pharisees, they cared nothing for the truth. They cared only about getting Jesus out of their lives. They were looking for any way they could to criticize him and to judge him. And so they were happy to even ignore the hard evidence that was before them in their efforts to condemn. But their investigation and their condemnation then also led into intimidation. For if they were to be rid of Jesus, then they knew they also had to stop anyone else from following him and supporting him. Did you notice verse 22 after they questioned the man's parents? It said they already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. You see, these Pharisees weren't just concerned about people seeing Jesus as a great or a powerful or even a godly man. They were concerned that they would see him as the Messiah, as the very one God promised to bring salvation into the world. And so they had ruled that anyone who suggested this would be put out of the synagogue. They'd be cut off from God, cut off from his people. They'd be omitted. They'd be ostracized. They'd be outcasts. And as a result, they also turned on the healed man himself. When he didn't give them the desired answers, verse 28 says, then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. And verse 34, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And in the end, they carried out the exact threat that we just spoke of. For when this man refused to toe the party line, verse 34 says, they threw him out. Investigation, condemnation, and intimidation. This was the response of most of the Pharisees. But my friends, isn't this also the response of so many people today? People seem to know so much about Jesus, don't they? Everyone's got a viewpoint. Everyone's got an opinion. But are they really interested in the truth? People in this world are so obsessed with their own little kingdoms. They have kingdoms of wealth and prosperity, of power and influence. sexual fulfillment and gratification, health and well-being, leisure and pleasure. And they're so determined to protect their little kingdoms, so determined that they're willing to ignore the facts. For my friends, did you know that every single Christian is a walking, talking miracle? Every single Christian was born blind, but now they see. And as a result, every Christian has undergone an amazing transformation. Because, my friends, we have been freed from the guilt and the power of our own sin. We now live in an intimate relationship with God. We are filled with deep joy and thankfulness, even when we go through hard times. We find peace and we find contentment in life, and we're willing to suffer for the gospel. We're no longer obsessed with the things of this world, but we seek to love others and to do so sacrificially, even when it hurts. We have purpose in life. We have hope for the future. And we don't even have to fear death, because we know that we are eternally secure in the Lord. And all of this only by the miraculous grace of God. Only because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have worked powerfully within us, taking us out of our darkness and bringing us into the light, opening our blind eyes so that we can see. But just like those Pharisees, there are so many who see the miracles, who face the facts, but yet they choose to ignore them. They may well investigate the things of Christianity, but they do so only to find fault. And as a result, they condemn God's own Saviour, saying He isn't good, but He is evil. And they seek to intimidate those who follow Him. And isn't that exactly what we're seeing more and more in our own society? Christianity being scrutinized to find out what is wrong. Jesus in His teachings being judged as discriminatory and hateful. And the church being told more and more that we cannot proclaim the truth of God. I truly hope that the attitude of these Pharisees, both ancient and modern, does not describe anyone here. But if it does, then my prayer is that you would think again. There's only one who can open your eyes to the truth. There's only one in whom you can find grace and salvation and eternal life. But now, there's a second response for us to consider. And we see that, first of all, in a few of the Pharisees. Verse 16, it says, "Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath.' But others asked, 'How can a sinner perform such signs?' And so they were divided." Not every single Pharisee was totally ignorant. Some of them actually pondered the reality of a blind man who was given sight. And so they responded with a degree of hesitation. They said, "How could Jesus not be from God? How could he be a sinner if he's able to do such great and righteous deeds?" But sadly, that's all we actually ever hear from them. Seems their views were not heard. But I also include in this response of hesitation the man's own parents. They were brought in for questioning, and listen to what they say. Verses 20 and 21, they say, "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age, he'll speak for himself." Like those few Pharisees, they too, they just could not deny the facts, could they? Their son was definitely blind and now he can definitely see. But they weren't willing to say any more than that. They weren't willing to support their son. They weren't willing to draw any conclusions about Jesus. And why was that? Well, it's because they were nervous. It's because they were scared. And I think the same applies to those Pharisees who had a different point of view. They were just too frightened to stand their ground or to say too much. Listen to what it says in verse 22. It says, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. This man's parents were afraid to go against the flow, because they knew that if they did, then they would suffer. And how much more would those men who had risen up to the rank of Pharisee be afraid as well? There would be no greater disaster for them than to be ejected from the synagogue. So while they responded with hesitation, they also responded with trepidation. But you know, I wonder if that could apply to anyone here. Maybe there was a time when you were a dedicated unbeliever. You had absolutely no interest in Jesus, and you went along with everything that the world was saying about Christianity. But now you're hesitating. Now you're not so sure. You've been thinking more and more about God and how this world came to be and why you're really here and what's going to happen when you die. You've been thinking about the Bible and how its message is starting to make sense to you. You've been thinking about Jesus and his amazing love and his amazing grace. And perhaps you've been sensing the Lord's work in your life and in your heart. But yet you're still not willing to take that extra step. Still not ready to trust in Jesus. Even though the facts are right there in front of you, you're not fully committing. And why? Because you're afraid. Perhaps you're afraid of what people will think of you, or how they're going to treat you. Perhaps you're afraid of what it would mean for your relationships. Perhaps you're afraid of what it would mean for your own pride. Perhaps you're afraid of how it might affect your lifestyle. Might you suffer or be disadvantaged or laughed at? Might you have to give up some of the things that you enjoy? Will following Jesus come at a cost? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. But will that stop you from taking a stand for Jesus? Will that stop you from taking hold of the eternal salvation that he offers? Will that stop you from finally experiencing life the way that it's meant to be? My friend, I want to ask you today, is this the day for you to stop sitting on the fence and to finally give your life to Christ? Don't be afraid, for when you've got Jesus, you've got everything you could ever possibly need. But that leads us then straight into our third and final response that we find here in our passage. And this final response is that of the man himself. He was the one who was physically blind and miraculously cured. But how would he respond to Jesus? Would he reject him like most of the Pharisees? Would he be afraid like some of the others and also his own parents? Well, his first response was realization. This man realized the truth of what had happened. Listen to verse 15. He says, he put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Verse 25, he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Verse 30, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. He could see better than anyone that Jesus' love and power, that they're real. And as a result, he progressively came to understand who Jesus really is. Back in verse 11, just after the miracle, he referred to him as the man they called Jesus, just some guy who had healed him. But then in verse 17, he starts to take a further step, because there he says he's a prophet. And then in verse 33, he says Jesus is the one who has the power of God, and so he must be from God. And verses 35 and 36 tell us that he had also come to see that Jesus was in fact the Son of Man. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. And he didn't only come to a point of realization, but my friends, he came to a point of dedication. For as this passage continues, the boldness of his faith just grows and grows and grows. Back in verse 12, he'd said that he didn't even know who Jesus is. But listen to verse 27. He answered, "I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" In these cheeky words to the Pharisees, he not only reveals his own commitment to discipleship, but he suggests to the Pharisees that they might want to follow him too. And he said this at his own peril, didn't he? Because they responded with insult. But he only grew bolder, making an even stronger proclamation in verses 30 to 33. It says, "The man answered, 'Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.'" And as he spoke those words, it was then that they threw him out. And finally, we have those closing verses where Jesus reappears. And as he does so, this man reveals to us the full extent of his faith. Listen to verses 35 to 38. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. He hadn't seen him yet, because when he was last with Jesus, he was still blind. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." And then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And in those final words, his response is complete. For he not only came to a realization of who Jesus actually is, and he not only grew in his dedication toward him, but he had come to a point of adoration as he comprehended the majesty and the beauty and the grace of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees may have thrown him out, but Jesus called him in, into his love, into his family, into his salvation. Then the Lord said, "I believe," and he worshipped him. Three responses to Jesus: those who reject him and his offer of salvation, those who see the truth but yet are not willing to commit, and those who embrace him as their Saviour and their Lord. But as the passage closes, Jesus reveals that we should hardly be surprised at these different responses. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Now, those words may surprise you a little bit because of things Jesus already said earlier. For example, in the previous chapter, Jesus said, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." This told us that Jesus' very purpose in coming into this world was not to bring judgment, but to bring salvation. But yet here in our text, he reminds us that in the very act of bringing salvation, condemnation also results. Because you see, my friends, the message of the gospel cuts both ways. It most certainly brings life to those who accept it, but yet at the very same time it brings death to those who reject it. And so just as Jesus' coming enables the blind to see, so it also causes those who think they can see to become blind. And that's what we see in the Pharisees. And that's what we see in many people today. They think they know it all. They think they have all the answers. They think everything's going to be all right. But by rejecting God's own given Saviour, they reveal the depth of their blindness and the darkness of their souls. In verse 40, some Pharisees ask Jesus if he thinks they're blind too. And in the final verse, he tells them, if you knew you were, well, then you could be saved. But here's the problem. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. So friends, as we finish up, we need to ask ourselves, what's our response to Jesus Christ? Are we like most of those Pharisees, ignoring the facts, rejecting Jesus, walking in the darkness even though we think we can see? I truly hope not. But I also hope you're not one of those sitting on the fence, unwilling to commit, paralyzed by fear. You do know, don't you, that one day it's going to be too late. And so I urge you, come to Jesus today. Give your life to Him. My friends, may each of us instead be like this man born blind. May we realize that we have been born in sin, so far from God, without any hope. And may we realize that it is Jesus who has come to open our eyes to His salvation. Like Him, may we be able to say, one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. And like Him, may we be able to say, Lord, I believe. And may we worship Him. Because, my friends, in Jesus we have found a Saviour like no other, who rescues us from our sin, who turns our lives around, who walks with us every single day, and who one day is going to take us home. Let's pray. Our dear Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that You are a God who works miracles. And Lord, we want to thank You for the amazing miracle that You have worked within us. We truly were blinded by our sin, but You came to us in Your mercy and You opened our eyes to Your truth. You lifted us out of the slimy pit and You set our feet upon a rock. You rescued us from death and from hell, and You have given us eternal life. And so, Lord, we want to thank You and we want to praise You with all of our hearts. But we also want to pray for those in our lives who are rejecting You, those who think they can see but are really so blind, who are opposed to Jesus and opposed to those who follow Him. Lord, have mercy on them, we pray, and open their eyes that they too may believe. And Lord, we pray for those who do see the truth, but yet they are afraid to commit. Please so work in their hearts that they may take that step of faith, that they may even do that today. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You that You came to save us by Your righteous life and Your sacrificial death. But help us also to realize that Your message of sight also brings blindness, that the gospel cuts both ways. And so, Jesus, we long for that day when You will come back and when You will make everything right and when You will make everything new. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. Amen.